John chapter 9, last Lord's Day evening. And we noted that it commenced with Job's response to Bildad. Three comforters, three friends came to see Job in his time of trial and in his sickness, and they sought to bring comfort to him, yet they were miserable comforters. And Bildad had spoken to Job in the previous chapter, and Job responds to him. That response started with an agreement. Job agreed with him. You'll see it in verse 2. I know it is so of a truth. In other words, Job was agreeing with Bildad's reasoning in the previous chapter, with the general conclusions that he made. And Bildad concluded that God does not pervert judgment. In verse 3 of chapter 8, he asked that question, and we considered it. Doth God pervert judgment? And the conclusion is no. He is a just and a righteous and a holy judge. And Job's agreeing with him. Bildad went on to set forth the reality that God ordinarily blesses the righteous and punishes the wicked. And again, Job is agreeing with him. But Job's argument was that Job was not being punished for his sin. That while Bildad spoke truth, it did not apply to Job and his situation and his circumstances. So it started with agreement. But then it went on to include an appeal. And that's the end of verse 2, where Job asks that question we considered and sought to answer last week. How should man be just with God? And he seeks to focus the attention of his comforters onto this great fact, that man is justified before God, not by any works of righteousness that he can do or has done or ever will do, not by religious rites or ceremonies or any morality within himself, but by the work of the promised Messiah. We considered last week the importance of that question. You need to be justified, because if you're not justified before God, there's no pardon for your sin. You have no peace with God and you have no prospect of heaven. We showed the problem with this question, that man has no righteousness in or of himself. And then we answered that question. Justified freely through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. And that's the answer to that question. And Job is setting forth that he was justified before the Lord on the basis of the work of the promised Messiah who would come in to the world. But then he commenced with agreement. He continued with an appeal, but then he gave an assertion, or made an assertion, and you'll see it in verse 3 and 4. If he will contend with him, he cannot answer him 1 in 1,000. He is wise and hard and mighty in strength. What Job is setting forth is that man cannot contend, cannot strive against, cannot argue against God, either by force or by reasoning. Man cannot contend with God and win. Man cannot contend with God and get the better of him. Why? Because verse 4 says, he, that is God, is wise in heart and mighty in strength. And as you read down through this 9th chapter, Job sets forth the mighty strength and power of God to show that man cannot contend with him. Man cannot contend with God, strive against Him, either by force or by argument or reasoning. Because who is the Lord? Verse 5, He's the one that removes the mountains. He's the one, verse 6, that shaketh the earth. He's the one, verse 7, that commandeth the sun and it riseth not and sealeth up the stars. He's the one who alone spreadeth out the heavens and treadeth upon the waves of the sea. He names some of the stars. He made those stars. And the chamber of the south, He doeth great things past finding out. The Lord is mighty in strength. He's the Almighty, but He's the wise God. One commentator observed that might without wisdom is tyranny, but might and wisdom is divinity. God is both almighty and all wise. And therefore, man cannot contend with Him. He cannot strive against Him. Put in common language, you can't fight against the Lord and win. And when He's making that assertion, verse 3 and 4, then at the end of verse 4, Job asks a question. He asks a question along these lines, as to why you should not even try to contend or fight against the Lord, thinking that you'll get the better of the Lord, or you'll prosper, or you'll be okay, as we would say. He asks that question at the end of verse 4, and it's what we want to consider this evening. The great gospel questions from Job. Who hath hardened himself against Him, prospered? The question that is, who has hardened himself against the Lord and ever prospered? What a question. The answer is obvious, and we'll come to it in the course of the message. But I want to begin tonight by pointing out, firstly, that in this question there is a sinful possibility. A sinful possibility. It is possible for a man to harden himself. It is possible for a man, a woman, a young person to harden their soul against God, to reject Him. That's what Job means in this question. Who hath hardened himself against Him? Who has hardened himself against the Lord? And he's setting forth in this question the possibility that men can harden their souls against the Lord. What do we mean by hardening their soul against the Lord? To continually resist God's authority and to disobey His commands. To rebel and murmur against God's works of providence. To continually refuse God's offers of mercy in the gospel. That's what we mean when we speak about hardening yourself against the Lord, to reject His offer of salvation and mercy in the gospel, to refuse or murmur against His works of providence and to reject His authority over your life and disobey His commands. If that describes you, what you're doing right now and your present attitude to the Lord, then Job's speaking about you in this text. You're one that is hardening yourself against the Lord. And I want to say to you this evening, this is not just a problem in 2019. This isn't a message from, I didn't preach this 3 years ago, by the way, reading old notes, just taking a preacher's blank there. It's not just a problem in 2019. It was a problem in 2016 as well, but it's been a problem for generations. It's been a problem from ever man fell into sin. You know why I say that? Because on 4 occasions in the Word of God, it is referenced. There is an exhortation from the Lord, not to harden your heart. Turn over to Psalm 95. You'll see the first one. Four times a specific phrase is used in the Bible about not hardening your heart against the Lord. And it's there in Psalm 95, verse 7 and 8. Now, you will know that the Psalms are from, generally speaking, the Psalms are from the times of David. And there in verse 7, you read Psalm 95 and 7, He is our God, and we are people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. There's an exhortation straight from the Lord. Don't harden your heart. But notice what He says, as in the day of provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Verse 8 is referring the people of David's time back to the days of Moses. The day of temptation, the provocation in the wilderness is a reference to Exodus chapter 17 at Rephidim, where the people in Moses' day, they did harden their hearts against the Lord. People in Moses' time stiffened their heart, their soul, their mind, their attitude against the Lord. The children of Israel were a people who had been instructed in the ways of the Lord. God sent them Moses, and He sent them Aaron, and He taught them that the Lord would free them from the bondage by a high hand, by the blood, and they were brought out by the power of the blood of the Lamb, the Passover, and they were instructed in the ways of the Lord. They were taught His ways. They were a people who witnessed God's power working in their midst, bringing them out of Egypt, opening the Red Sea, bringing them through into the wilderness to start the journey to Canaan and the promised land. And yet at Rephidim, they hardened their heart against the Lord. Now let me say this, and listen very carefully. If the people in Moses' day who saw with their eyes the mighty working power of God, and who were taught that the blood of the Lamb shed was the remedy and salvation from the judgment to come, and yet they hardened their heart, how much more possible is it for you? It's possible for you too. Living in 2019, you have been brought up under the sound of the gospel. You've been taught the stories of the Bible, the existence of God, the reality of a Son coming to this world to die on the cross as the only remedy for sin. You've witnessed the saving grace of God in the lives of others, in your parents, in your friends, in your family. You see the change that it has brought, and yet you harden your heart against the Lord. The exhortation is, don't do it. Harden not your heart. And it was a problem in the days of Moses, and it's a problem in the days of David. How do I know that? Because the psalmist is saying, don't be like the people in the book of Exodus. There was a danger of them hardening their heart, and the psalmist saying, don't do it. You turn over to Hebrews chapter 3. And you will read twice of this exhortation in Hebrews 3 and once in Hebrews 4. Look at Hebrews 3 verse 7. Wherefore as the Holy Ghost saith, Hebrews 3 and 7. Today if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. As in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Look also down to verse 15. While it is said today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. As in the provocation, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 7, again, He limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, it is said, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. And now Paul's taking up the theme, and he said, the Holy Ghost spoke through David. David wrote that Psalm 95. And the Holy Ghost said, don't harden your heart. This is not a message from the preacher. This is a message from the Holy Ghost to you. You want to know what would the Holy Ghost say to me? You're not a Christian. You're not saved. What would the Holy Ghost say to you? The Holy Ghost would say, don't harden your heart. Don't harden your heart. And he said it in the days of David. It was applicable in the days of Moses. And now he's saying it in the days of Paul in the New Testament. Every major era of the Bible, Moses, David, Paul, there was a danger of those who had a knowledge of the Lord and the gospel, hardening their heart, rebelling against Him, willfully, stubbornly, continually, rejecting the claims and the call of God over their lives, crying out like those men in the parable that Jesus told in Luke 19 and 14. We will not have this man, the Lord Jesus, to reign over us. I ask you tonight, young or old, has that been the cry of your heart for many, many years? You're hardening your heart against the Lord. You maybe think to yourself, I have nothing in common with the man in Moses' day. They were nothing more than slaves and ancient men who knew nothing about modern life. What would I have in common with the man of Moses' day? What would I have in common with the times of David or even of Paul? Oh, you've this in common. You're hardening your heart against the Lord. And the Holy Ghost would say to you tonight, don't do it. Don't do it. Harden not your heart. There is then in this question of Job a sinful possibility. You could have been brought up in the most godly home. You could have sat under the most evangelical preaching. You could have beheld the wonders of God in the lives of others. And yet there's still the possibility that you are hardening your heart against the Lord. The question not only speaks of a sinful possibility, but it speaks about a solemn reality. Who hath hardened himself against him, that is the Lord, and hath prospered? There's no answer given. It's again what we might refer to as a rhetorical question. No answer is given. It's more making a point. Because the answer is logical and the answer is evident and it's clear. Who has hardened himself against the Lord and prospered? The answer is none. Will you harden yourself against the Lord and prosper? No, you won't. You will not harden yourself against God and prosper in time or in eternity. You might harden yourself against your parents and prosper. That's possible. You might harden yourself against your employer and prosper. That's possible. You might harden yourself against the rulers, the civil rulers of this world, and prosper. But you will never harden yourself against God and prosper in eternity. Let me tell you why. The solemn reality is that everyone else who has tried to lift up their fists in defiance and rebellion against the Almighty has perished. Everyone else who has tried it, and they've taken God on, and they've said, we will not have this man. We will not submit to his ways. We will rebel against his word. We'll do our own thing. We'll go our own way. In light of their knowledge of the truth and the revelation of the truth to them, they've perished. And I could go through this book tonight and I could give you example after example after example. But let me just mention three. And I'd be very concise with them. The devil hardened himself against the Lord, the devil and his angels. You'll read about it in Isaiah chapter 14 and also in Revelation chapter 12. But let me just point you to Isaiah chapter 14. And there you read about the fall of Satan in verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also on the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend from the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. The devil hardened his heart. And the devil, wherever he was at that time, he said, I'll ascend into heaven. I'll go back into the holy place. I'll ascend into that place. I'll exalt my throne above the stars of God. I'll be like God. I will be like the Most High. I will not submit to my place and my position that God has given me. I will rebel against him, and I'll take the throne of heaven, and I'll sit where God sits. And he set his heart, he hardened his heart against the Lord. He was going to rebel against God. He was going to take the place of God, and the Lord cast him down. Look at verse 15, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. And Jesus said, as lightning I beheld Satan fall from heaven. In Revelation chapter 12 we read that Satan was cast out of heaven down to the earth, and a third part of the stars of heaven with them, the angels that rebelled with them, and they were cast down to the earth, and for a season they deceived the whole world. But when the Lord returns, the devil will be cast down into the pit. Oh, he thought he'd rebel. He thought he would harden himself. He would set himself and fix himself to take on the Most High and to sit in the place of God and be as God. But he's perished. He's doomed. And he didn't prosper. Maybe you're thinking, well, I'm not like the devil. I'm not a fallen angel. Let me remind you of Pharaoh. You will not turn back to Exodus, but from Exodus chapter 4, the end of Exodus chapter 4, right through to Exodus chapter 15, you read about this man called Pharaoh, and God sent him a messenger, and God sent him a preacher. His name was Moses. Moses and Aaron stood in the presence of Pharaoh, and he said, thus saith the Lord, let my people go. That was God's word to Pharaoh. He heard the word of the Lord. He said, who is the Lord? Who is Jehovah? That I'm the king of Egypt. I'm a great man. I'm a mighty man. I'm the ruler of the greatest kingdom on the earth. Who is Jehovah? That I should obey him and let his people go. And over the course of a period of time, the Lord showed him who he was. He sent him 10 plagues. And time after time, Moses brought the word to Pharaoh. And he gave him God's word. And yet Pharaoh hardened his heart. I will not let Israel go. He would not submit. He would not subject himself to the word of the Lord. I won't have it. I won't submit to it. I won't obey it. I'll take them on, and I will keep Israel as my servants and my slaves. And yet, in Exodus chapter 14, we read that Pharaoh, even after the death of the firstborn, he pursued Israel to the Red Sea. And when God opened the sea and Israel went through, Pharaoh and his chariots pursued, and the Lord caused him to perish in the depths of the sea. Because he hardened himself against the Lord. My friend, like Pharaoh, you have heard the word of God. God's word to you is not, let my people go. God's word to you is, repent and believe the gospel. Forsake your sin. Acknowledge and confess your sin. By faith embrace the Son of God who was slain on Calvary and shed his blood as the sacrifice and the means of pardoning and forgiving your sin. And yet your cry is that you will not have the word of God. You have hardened your heart against it. And I tell you, if you continue on, then you will die like Pharaoh, a rebellious sinner, and you will perish like Pharaoh in a lost sinner's hell. I give you one more example. What a tragedy it was. The Jewish people, They gathered outside Pilate's judgment hall in Matthew 26 and 27. And Pontius Pilate tried the Saviour. And he brought him out and he said, I find no fault in him. But the crowd cried, crucify him! Crucify him! Pilate said, what evil hath he done? And they cried out the more, crucify him! Crucify him! When Pilate remonstrated again, what was the response? They said, his blood be on us and on our children. They had witnessed his miracles, the raising of Lazarus from the dead, the feeding of the 5,000, the healing of the man at the pool of Bethesda. They'd witnessed his miracles, they'd heard his words. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. Yet they stubbornly hardened their heart against the claims and call of Jesus Christ. And they said, his blood be on us and on our children. They nailed him to a tree. Praise God, Father raised him from the grave and the tomb, and he ascended up on high. But around 40 years later, his blood was laid at their account. The Roman armies, directed by the general Titus, marched on Jerusalem, and they surrounded and besieged that city. And over, it is said that over 1 million Jews perished at that time. Jerusalem was destroyed, and the Jews were scattered to the ends of the earth, and they ceased to be a nation until 1948. His blood was on that people and their children, and the veil is on their eyes today because they hardened themselves against the promised Messiah. I say again, you cannot harden yourself against the Lord and prosper. Harden yourself against the Lord and you will perish in the judgment of God. Who hath hardened himself against him and hath prospered? The words of Paul in Romans come to mind. No, not one. There's one final thought I want to finish with tonight. This question sets forth a sinful possibility and a solemn reality. But in conclusion, I would say the question sets forth a saving opportunity. While it is not particularly stated in the question or the text, yet I believe it is certainly implied from the context. For if you are not to harden yourself against the Lord, then you must humble yourself. I want you to turn back to Hebrews chapter 3 just as we close, because I want you to see the saving opportunity. Hardening yourself against the Lord, it's particularly relevant to those who have had the Word of God revealed to them, taught to them, applied to their hearts. And in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7, wherefore as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart. What's the alternative to hardening your heart? It's hearing the voice of God. Hearing it not merely with the outer ear, but hearing it in the heart. Humbling your soul. And receiving the word of the Lord. That's the saving opportunity. You see, the Lord speaks to men. Isn't that a wonderful truth? The Holy Ghost speaks. The Holy Ghost is saying, hear His voice and hear it today. Is there someone tonight, even under the sound of my voice, and God has been speaking to you? The Holy Spirit has been showing you. You're sitting hardened in your sin. You've rebelled against the Lord. You've not wanted the Lord as the King of your life or the Savior of your soul. And He's saying, lay down your arms of rebellion. Embrace the Savior. The Spirit now is saying, today, if you will hear His voice, right now, as God speaks to you, He's saying, hear His voice. Come to Him. Seek Him. Return unto Him. Humble yourself. Accept His word. And be saved by faith in Him. Will you respond like the hymn writer? The hymn writer said, I heard the voice of Jesus say. And we're going to sing that hymn just in a moment to close. It's 268, but the hymn writer said, I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down thy weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast. That's the voice of Jesus. He's saying, don't rebel. You'll not prosper. I'm the one that made the heaven and the earth. I'm the one that will shake the earth. The mountains will cause them to fall into the sea at my return. I made the stars and set them in their places. Set them in their course. I sustain and uphold all things. Don't rebel against me. You'll not prosper. But come unto me. Come and be saved. Come and be forgiven. Come and be made right with me. Come and be part of my kingdom and my family. The hymn writer said, I came to Jesus as I was. That's how you need to respond. There's only two ways you can respond to the voice of God. You can either yield to it, or you'll harden yourself against it. I came to Jesus as I was. Come in your sin. He'll pardon you from your sin. And He'll change you. And you'll cast off your sin. Come as you are. I came to Jesus as I was, weary, worn, and sad. I found in Him a resting place. He has made me glad. That's the saving opportunity that awaits you tonight, right now, today. If you will hear His voice, harden not your heart.